Joining me, we're lucky enough to say, is Bill Crow of Fisherman's Voice. Bill, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All righty. Well, lots of things have been going on with liquid natural gas back and forth across the up and down the main coast, and it's kind of hard to keep track of it sometimes. What's the situation?
Well, the latest situation was they tried to get one cleared to the Passamaquoddy Indian Tribe in Perry, and that they ended up going to a vote on the town because the lands that the Indians wanted to put it on had a stipulation that if it was to be commercial development, the town had to vote on it. So they had to have a town vote, a special town vote on it, and the town voted against it. And the developers of it, which were, what was the name?
Do you mean the one in the one up on the Passamaquoddy land there?
Passamaquoddy land, yeah.
Oh, the Oklahoma company.
Yeah, the Oklahoma guys. Don Smith and his brilliant son made an agreement that if they lost the vote in town, that they would drop the issue. And since that they lost the vote, they've gone back in their word, and they were trying to push it through again. And throughout the whole thing, I went to several of the meetings and interviewed them. They were just horrendous. They basically were very condescending to the people in town. They were rude. They were arrogant. They basically lied. They gave no straight answers whatsoever about the whole thing. They just kept going through what I call bureau speak, where they give you an answer, but it's not an answer.
Well, they got a resounding thump no then, huh?
Yeah, they did. They got a pretty solid vote against it. And something I found out since then also, that there was actually a contract with the Indian tribe to build low-cost housing on that piece of property, but that was never brought up. These guys sort of skirted that issue. That was never brought forward until after the fact that some other members of the tribe found out about that and brought that up. And also, when they looked like they were going to lose the vote 2 days before the vote, they started, they bumped up the initial offer of $340,000 to the town of Perry to $1 million.
Sounds like they're desperate.
actually went to the Attorney General's office in claiming that to see if this was actually they were bribing the people. And there's a formal complaint with the Attorney General's office now that on bribery charges.
Attempted bribery at least.
What's that?
At least attempted bribery. My gosh.
Yeah, basically it was pretty much that. I was told that they were going around giving out money at churches and bringing food to the elderly in old home centers, you know. Stuff like that. Just sleazy. Snake oil salesman to the max.
Figuring that they just throw money at the yokels, they'll just shut up and do their thing.
They insult the intelligence of those people more than once. I talked to both of them, him and his son, and I've dealt with these guys, not those guys in particular, but other LNG people, and these guys by far have been the worst. As far as sticking to their word, they went back on their word.
I mean, this is in comparison to Goldsboro.
Yeah, to Goldsboro. The folks in Goldsboro, I believe it was Chambro, they said the same thing. They said, the town people don't want it, we won't pursue it. And they resounding voted at a meeting at Goldsboro one night, and they dropped it. That was it. These guys just keep coming back. They're coming back. They're still coming back.
My gosh. And yet they've got opposition both from Canadians, Americans, and from the tribe, or at least a certain part of the tribe.
These guys were accusing the people who were against the project that they were getting bribed. They were getting bribed money from Canadian interests.
Well, I hope that they realize the devalued difference between the Canadian dollar and the American when they were bribing.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I mean, that's a good vicious rumor, but I doubt that it had any substance.
No, these people were raising money from bake sales and, you know, private donations of like $50. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this guy accused them at that one meeting saying that he wants to know where they're getting all their money from.
And he said, what'd they say? Well, all grandmothers in the room, please rise and wave your spatulas.
That's what took place. They got up and read off their financial statements, and one was like $200 of a bake sale. Another one was some tribal Indian dance that they did. People threw money in. But it was all like $50, $100, $200, $300 at the most.
And that showed the groundswell of support there.
Yeah, because, they were pretty well organized. They had a pretty good crew. You know, they brought a lot of good points out. I mean, at one point, even, I believe that someone interviewed him, and he said he wouldn't want this in his backyard, but he's just doing his job.
Oh. Well, sure. I mean, tell him that's what they said at Nuremberg. let me ask you, though, beyond LNG, any other hot things that you're that we can expect in your next edition of Fisherman's Voice?
Well, we're covering this, the new whale situation. They're reassessing all the rules for the right whales and entanglements and that stuff.
So that's going to pose a lot of hassles to people.
They're trying to get rid of the sinking rope. They want float rope, which is actually, I don't think works either. And there's several different, I think there's five different alternative plans, and they're in the process of doing public hearings on it now and feedback and that type of thing. It's still going to be a while before anything comes up. But
does it seem like the guys favor any one of the alternatives at all?
Alternative 5 is one. I'm not quite sure exactly all the details of that particular one, but it's Alternative 5. And some guys prefer, one of the options is do nothing. That's what they really want.
Ah, leave conservatism, truly, then.
Because actually there haven't been any entanglements of whales in Maine waters, as far as they can tell, even though they have color-coded ropes. That's one of the things they're using to see where these whales are getting entangled. But at this point in time, as far as everyone knows, there's been no proof that there's been a whale entangled in state waters. So. And going to sinking line could be a nightmare here because of the rough bottom, the rocks, the ledges, everything.
It would
else.
Just be synonymous with snag lines.
Tons of ghost gear on the bottom.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, so that's a problem there. What about herring? You had a feature story in your current issue.
Yeah, that's going referring back to the same problem that we had last year with those midwater trawlers. That they're those boats were basically designed. It should have been fishing out in Georges. The herring that was supposed to be there weren't there, and they all came into 1A, which is inshore waters, a lot of it, and they just broke up the schools.
Just hammered them.
And it affected the whale watch people who are really up in arms about it. The tuna fishermen are up in arms about it because they're saying they're not seeing anywhere near the whales nor the tuna that normally show up here. And it's basically started since these midwater boats started coming in here.
And picking out, aren't they ground fish boats that got shoved out of that industry? And
yeah, they were midwater trawlers. There's one boat here, I believe two boats here from Alaska that came here because of they get shut out of the fisheries there. And I think I think one of them's out of New Bedford now. One's out of Gloucester, too, I think. I'm not sure, but there's a fleet of 10 or 12 of them.
Are they any kind of regulatory action happening?
There is a lot of talk. At this point, there's nothing definite. The New England Fisheries Management Council is trying to deal with it. Actually, what's going to play out, no one really knows. They do have as a lobby group, they have a lot of money behind them and a lot of I think they have a fair amount of political pull, too. So they've got some backing behind them, only on their own group, but most basically everyone else is against it. And they shouldn't be in here, as far as my personal opinion. They're geared for George's Bank, and that's where they should be. If the fish aren't there, it's too bad they invested in those boats.
Right,
feeling.
Tell the tuna guys to call on their Japanese buyers for a few yen.
Yeah, bring a couple of subs. No.
Hey, look. Well, this is great, Bill. We're going to have to break off here for the station break.
Yeah.
But anything in your crystal ball as to anything good that's going to come out of the Augusta legislative session that's winding down?
There's a whole bunch of bills. There's a bait bill. There's a one of the most positive things is this working waterfront stuff. That's been proceeding pretty well, actually. As far as trying to get some relief to the local people and their waterfront, you know, access and their wash and stuff, as far as getting taxed so heavily.
Right, right. Oh, God, I saw that happen as a kid along Chesapeake Bay. All the fishing villages got shoved right out by the development.
Yeah, it's happening here. And there is some legislation that's been passed that's been real positive, and so it's going to go to the public for a vote here, I believe, in November. So there's going to be a bill on that. There was one 2 years ago. It just barely lost, but this one probably has a much better chance now.
Yeah, well, we'll stay tuned on that. Hey, look, Bill, thanks an awful lot there, unless you got any last point there.
Nope, the point is I got to get back to work.
Okay.
Get the next issue out.
All right, thanks a lot, Bill.
Okay,
good talking to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Bill Crow of Fisherman's Voice, and he is covering exactly everything going on in the area. And as you can see, he has quite a lot of impatience with those that would pollute and otherwise disrupt the natural flow of fish from egg to plate. This is the end of the first hour of the Penobscot Bay Report and Gulf Main Monitor.